You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, kids today seem to be riding bikes less often than in the past. We'll look into why that is and what it means for the biking industry as a whole. Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on news stories from around the state with reporters who are covering them. We'll find out more about the impact of Chinese tariffs on Wisconsin ginseng farmers and recap the dramatic selection of Superior's next city council president. But first, when Shopko announced in March that it was closing all of its stores, it left many Wisconsin communities with fewer jobs and one less retailer. In Wausau, the store's closing could also pose a challenge to the seniors, people with disabilities, and others who rely on the city's bus routes. Megan Stringer is the streetwise and business reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. Megan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why is the closing of Shopko a big deal for people who rely on the transit system in Wausau?
Well, this matters for people who rely on the transit system because Shopko is one of the last major discount retailers within Wausau city limits, which is where the bus goes in Wausau. There is a lot of retail in the larger metro area. It's a lot of it in Rib Mountain and Weston, where there's Walmart, Aldi, Sam's Club, Target. None of those big stores are actually in Wausau city limits. So we do have Walgreens and CVS here, but those are much more expensive than a discount retailer like Shopko.
A lot of communities have transit systems that go beyond the borders of one city. That's not always the case, though. What is it in the Wausau area that makes the buses stop effectively at the city limits?
So I talked with the transit director for the city of Wausau, and he says that they need participation from those other cities and towns to bring the bus there. So the bus did used to go to Schofield, Weston, Rothschild, and that service was discontinued in 2015 because the people that were living there choose not to subsidize it.
You talked to some folks in Wausau who have made Shopko a regular stop using the bus route. What kind of stories did you hear?
Yeah, so people love the Shopko route because it stops right at the front door in Shopko, which is great for a lot of people who take the bus who might be visually impaired or elderly. There are other stores along that route that are at larger intersections that they might have to cross. It's become a little bit more dangerous. So the Menards, the Fleet Farm are at these large intersections. If you can't see very well, it's hard to cross those places, especially in the winter and the cold, which is most of the year here, where there could be snow piles, it could be icy, and so it's dangerous for them at those intersections, unlike Shopko, which would the bus would put you right at the front door.
What kind of things did you hear from people who have counted on this about what they might do now without that option, that transit-friendly option?
Yeah, so people are still figuring it out, I think. They are planning to budget more time and more money for their errands to take the bus over to Walgreens or to CVS. But those places, it's just simply a little bit more money for basic goods like shampoo or anything that you're trying to pick up. So it doesn't seem like anybody has a solid solution right now, but I know they're working to figure out what it's going to look like for them once Shopko closes on Sunday.
Yeah, you had a story from someone, I think in her 70s, who went out to buy her mom a pair of slippers, or 90-something-year-old mom a pair of slippers,
yes.
And the only option was a cab ride?
Yeah, so she took a cab ride over to the Coles in Rib Mountain, and cab rides can be $30, upwards of $30 each way. So just to pick up a pair of slippers, a quick errand that could be $10, $15 suddenly becomes a $70 errand.
Is there concern now without Shopko there and this route to bring as many people that the transit system could have fewer riders and that could create more problems?
It is. It is a concern. Shopko is one of the big places to go on that bus route. So I know the transit director is worried about ridership. But at the same time, that route is also one of the most popular. It has more riders than any other bus route in Wausau. So I don't think they expect the route to close entirely or see any major differences, although they are going to have to figure out what the ridership looks like after Shopko closes and maybe adjust.
Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
Megan Stringer is the streetwise and business reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. She talked with us about the impact of Shopko's shutdown on people who rely on the city's transit system. Now we head to Superior, where the city council wrapped up the process of selecting their new president this week by using a random card draw. The decision caused disagreements between the mayor, city attorney, and the council, with an attempt to censure one council member for her remarks on Twitter. Shelley Nelson is a reporter for the Superior Telegram. Shelley, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
Well, how did the city council and Superior get to the point where they had to draw cards to see who could be their council president?
Well, back in April, when they were supposed to reorganize and select their president, they were divided on who they wanted for the president, one city councilor or the other. They voted eight times, literally eight times, and no one ever changed a vote. And in that process, there was one councilor who consistently abstained from the vote. So they went back at it in early May. They took one vote. The councilor who had abstained in the first meeting did make his vote known, which swung the balance by one vote. And they decided, you know what, this isn't going to go anywhere. Let's move on to other business. And they adjourned the meeting and said, we'll try it again next time. And then they did it again the following meeting and came to the same conclusion. The same five councilors supported one, same five councilors supported the other, and there was one abstention, which was the abstention's purpose was to keep the mayor from breaking the tie, because councilors felt very strongly that the council body itself should be deciding its leadership, and that shouldn't be left to the mayor.
So it goes down to this card draw, and there was an argument the city attorney had to get involved to decide if it was legal to use a card draw to break the tie?
Yes. The council had requested that the city attorney develop an opinion on whether or not it was legal to do so. Back in 2009, the council had actually selected its leadership that way when the mayor declined to break the tie.
But things got heated, it sounds like, and there's some bad blood to the point where the public is getting kind of annoyed with the behavior. What kind of things were said and done that went beyond the usual civility one would hope for from a city council?
Well, one city councilor who disagreed with the attorney's opinion had posted on Twitter, and she wasn't exactly nice about it. I mean, she called it repugnantly incompetent and said the work boiled down to laziness, which prompted another city councilor to craft a censure for her. So when the council went into session this week, they decided to censure her by a 6-4 vote, but the mayor decided to use his first ever veto to override that censure because he felt it was free speech.
Now, have we ultimately had the card draw and resolved the issue of who the council president is?
Yes, we have. The one councilor, Ruth Ludwig, did not want to participate in the card draw, so she had actually asked the mayor to draw for her. Councilor Brett Fennessy drew the high card, which was a four of hearts, and the mayor drew a two of spades.
When on the four, have things calmed down now that this has happened, or does it still seem like there's bad blood, shall we?
You know, it's hard to say. The following day, 2 days after the city's assistant finance director resigned his position to take another job, the finance director, who's been there for 27 years, decided to move up her retirement date the following day. Now, she's not saying why she decided to do that, but it can't be too much of a coincidence that she did so right after this council meeting in which, you know, the public's telling the council, behave and get your stuff together and do the job of the people. And the city attorney is being abused, and the mayor's not holding a city councilor accountable while the council is attempting to do so.
Shelley, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us today.
All right.
That's Shelley Nelson, reporter for the Superior Telegram. She got us up to speed on a Superior City Council electing a new president this week, ultimately coming down to a card draw. Finally, a number of Wisconsin's agricultural exports are being affected by retaliatory tariffs from China. That includes one that's crucial to central Wisconsin, ginseng. Rob Menster is WPR's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
We'll talk about briefly the importance of ginseng in Marathon County. I think a lot of people don't know what a big deal it is around the world.
So ginseng is certainly a unique crop. The whole economy of ginseng is basically located in Marathon County. The great majority of all ginseng in the U.S. is grown around Wausau. It's about a $30 million per year industry for the farmers. And it is also unique in that it is almost entirely the great majority of the market is in exports. So exports to China, this means that it is uniquely susceptible to economic pressure as a result of tariffs.
You attended a panel discussion on these tariffs and the impact they have. What kind of things did you hear about ginseng in particular, Rob?
Indeed. So the one thing that is just to say how much the prices have climbed as a result of tariffs. So there had been a fee on ginseng imports to China of about 8%. That's now up to over 38%, according to Will Su, who is the president of Su's Ginseng Enterprises, who spoke on this panel here in Wausau. And that is, that is causing pressure on growers. In a lot of cases, buyers just simply won't pay the price and expect the American farmers to sort of absorb a 30% loss on their crop.
Is there a fear that then China and Chinese importers will turn to other sources for ginseng around the world?
Absolutely. So Wisconsin ginseng has this reputation as the world's best ginseng. It's the top shelf stuff, and it's what the connoisseurs want. And so it already commands a premium. It is the most expensive ginseng as well in China. It's the best. But there is ginseng that comes from Canada, and there are Chinese domestic growers of ginseng. So as the price climbs, for sure, it creates a space for Canadian and Chinese growers to take that market share away.
In our last minute, Rob, what did you hear from ginseng growers in Wisconsin about how they're hoping this gets resolved?
So it is a shock to the system, and one thing that can be expected is that fewer people may continue to grow ginseng. That number is already in decline, and that decline can continue. I think that what people hope is that we'll come to an agreement, and the sort of escalating trade war will be reversed, and farmers won't face these tariffs on ginseng.
And is there a thought that this has to happen soon? I think ginseng is a crop, if I understand correctly, you got to do some advanced planning on.
Yeah, it takes several years for the ginseng root to mature. And again, like this is in the context of a long-term secular trend away from ginseng cultivation. There used to be thousands of ginseng growers here in Marathon County. That today there are 150, 180 or so. So there is a risk that this could go away, which would have a significant economic impact on this area.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Hey, thanks.
That's Rob Mentzer, WPR's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. He was with us for a look at the impact of Chinese tariffs on ginseng and how it's impacting farmers in central Wisconsin. He wrapped up our weekly look at news stories from around the state.